Now, baby, you got me on my knees. Oh, let me be your king and you can be my queen. Honey, I'm locked up. Let's put you down to me. Let me tune into your spotlight frequency.
Welcome to the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus news radio show that strictly talks hockey. If you got any questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 204-269-8636. That's 204-269-UMFM.
A little upbeat for us here to start off the show, eh?
We're doing the show in the 70s.
That's right.
I'm okay to bring back the parachute pants and the all the good stuff.
Yeah? You're all right with that?
Disco balls
and dance floors, yeah. Platform shoes, all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm game.
I'm going to fade out the Hooked on You, Pair of Stellar. Fantastic song.
I feel like John Travolta right now.
Well, you can get, do you want me to let it go under the background? I'll let it go.
That's good. It's a good song.
It's got a little upkeep to it, a little upswing to it.
A little pep.
All right.
Pep for your Thursday afternoon.
That's right.
Noon evening.
We'll kick it off big.
Your drive home.
Let's get her going here. We'll have it at the end of the show again here, folks. We'll play a little bit longer at the end of the show. But let's get into this. We got a lot to talk about. We've been doing the summer of interviews. Not done yet, might I add. There are still two more people who we may get on before, well, I won't say before September. One may actually happen in the first week of September. Okay. But summer of interviews may continue. But we need to get everybody caught up on what's going on elsewhere in the hockey world because other leagues have already started. Other stuff is going on. Other events are happening that you should be aware of.
Yeah. People like us. They want to come talk to us.
People like us. That's what I've heard. I'm going to ask you, Beans, because okay. I got four pages of stuff here today.
Since I'm the only one here.
I'm going to ask you, Beans, where do you want to start? What section of the world would you like to start in today?
Let's start at home. People like to know what's happening.
You know what? Let's start at home. We'll start with the NHL.
Okay.
Starting at home. Toronto Maple Leafs today, if you didn't catch the news, shuffled their front office staff a little bit, hiring some new people, moving some people around, giving people better jobs, new titles.
Yeah.
Two women ended up in very prominent positions with the club. You may recognize the first name. Haley Wickenheiser was hired as the assistant director of player development.
I've heard of her.
She might be a little bit famous.
Yeah, a little bit.
While Noelle Needham will do scouting for the Leafs in the American Midwest. So she's going to be responsible for basically all of sort of Minnesota to probably over to where Montana and Wyoming is.
Okay.
American Midwest and then down to Texas, all that kind of stuff.
There's probably not too many female scouts out there.
Not too many female scouts, but she is going to have that entire section to herself. She will be responsible for scouting future Leafs in that area. USHL teams, bunch of those in there. Got some good junior teams in terms of some of those USHL teams that are producing good players. So
be interesting to see what the Leafs do in drafting in that area.
That we could see some upswing on that one. These are highly coveted positions, as you may realize, with the club. I'm going to say right now it's refreshing and impressive to actually see the Leafs breaking, quote-unquote, the old boys club and basically going out and hiring some very qualified women, some very, very, I'm going to say, astute women in terms of knowing their hockey knowledge and their hockey information, and really sort of breaking the mold with these hirings.
Hey, well, they got a millennial running the team. So
I'm going to say right now it's 2018, folks.
2018.
This shouldn't surprise you.
The millennials are running teams now. Things are changing.
And Kyle Dubas even said in his press conference today that if you're just going to look at, like old white guys for positions, you're missing out on a ton of talent. So,
and eventually you're going to run out of old white guys to hire. And
well, there'll always be old white guys. Young white guys turn into old white guys, right? But
well, it's true, but
Big day in Manitoba yesterday. One Barry Trotz landed in Manitoba.
That's what I hear.
Brought with him a small little mug with him.
Yeah.
Known as the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, just a little one.
Organizers were hoping for about 1,500 people at the meet and greet, eh?
I heard that.
Yeah, it turned out that 4,000 to 5,000 people showed up to meet Barry Trotz and get their picture taken with the Stanley Cup.
I saw the interview with Sean Churchill yesterday. So
there was a lot going on. CBC was up there. Yeah. They had CTV up there. They had TSN. Sean Churchill's TSN.
Yeah.
Whole bunch of people up there to get everything going. But an enormous amount of people. So congratulations to that area, to the Dauphin Kings. In terms of their fans, their fan base.
I think that's where Barry Trotz started.
That is correct. He did start there, yeah.
Yep.
And to the organizers in Dauphin for attracting that many people and certainly getting the word out that, hey, Barry Trotz is coming.
Yeah. His parents still live in Dauphin.
Yeah, that's 40, true.
40 years or something, he said, lived in Dauphin.
Which is good to see. I mean, usually you hear about these guys and if I'm not mistaken, I heard this story. His dad still sells 50-50 tickets at the Dauphin Kings games.
Why not? I'm Mr. Trotz.
Oh, Mr. Trotz.
He's not Barry. He's Mr. Trotz.
He's not Barry Sr. He's Mr. Trotz.
Is he Barry?
No, I don't know. I don't think it is. No.
Probably not.
As per Ron Hextall, local guy in terms of his playing career.
There you go.
Not so local, though. Sean Couturier will miss the next 4 weeks of the lower body injury. The funny part, to me anyway, the injury occurred August 10th at a game of rec hockey in Quebec City.
He's playing in the Beauty League there? Or?
No, it's some Quebec City. He was having fun and
not so much fun.
Somebody tripped him up, or he went a little hard for the puck.
That's the thing when you go in those rec games and you're the NHL superstar. There, guys are going to try to show off and try to beat you.
See, that's the thing is you want to make sure that. You know, if you're the big guy on the ice, you're the big fish in the pond there. You don't try and do too much, right? And maybe Sean Couturier was gearing up for training camp and going, you know what? I'm going to forecheck like a madman tonight.
I had a great 2017. 2018-19 is going to be even better.
Also among the royalty, hockey royalty in the city yesterday, one Elliot Friedman.
Oh.
One Ron McLean.
Oh, my.
And one Don Cherry.
I saw Don. I didn't see Don. I just saw pictures of him.
There was pictures of him. But all here for the Bruce Oak Recovery Center Gala, as they were trying to raise funds for the Bruce Oak Recovery Center.
It's a touchy subject right now.
His autographed jacket went for like $6,500 yesterday.
Oh, wow.
So
one he was wearing?
No, Don Cherry. He put up another one. But he autographed it. It was $6,500 for his jacket yesterday. So it's a good chunk of change right there for.
Was Scott Oak there?
Scott was there, as was Darcy.
I was guessing that would have been a...
That would have been a little bit of crazy, but...
Everybody else shows up.
Also in town yesterday was the Calder Cup.
That's what I hear.
Yeah, as Toronto Marlies forward Adam Brooks brought the Calder Cup to Winnipeg yesterday, so...
How come no media attention on that? Is he in Winnipeg?
He's in Winnipeg. He lives in Winnipeg. His parents live in Winnipeg. Well, he doesn't live in Winnipeg, obviously, but his parents live in Winnipeg. He brought it home to the and I,
it's
I reached.
Too, it's too often the Stanley Cup overshadows the Calder
but
Cup.
But I mean, you look at what happened yesterday. You literally had all the biggest names in hockey media. You had the Stanley Cup. You had the Calder Cup all in Manitoba at one time. Like that has I don't think that's ever happened before.
We're a hotbed right now. People are picking us to go to the Cup final. Like this city's going crazy.
There's craziness going on here. Craziness, I tell you. Let's keep rolling with some NHL news. St. Louis Blues will unveil their alternate jersey this Sunday. No word on what it's going to look like yet, but let's just hope that it's not garish.
I'm going to think they're going to bring back the red.
The
red, yeah.
You think they're going to bring back like Gretzky era with the diagonal?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe with the was that the era with the names had the music notes in the
era. They did that. They had that one that Mike Keenan rejected with the trumpets on the front.
Yeah,
I don't know if that'll make an appearance, but
when Al MacInnis played, didn't they have red in theirs too?
There was a stripe at the bottom.
Maybe something like that. I think they're going to bring back some red.
All right. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Find out on Sunday. New Jersey Devils unveiled their heritage jerseys.
I love it.
Back in green and red for at least 4 games this season. That's all they're going to wear it for, which means that they'll be the best-looking team on the ice for 4 games anyway.
Yeah.
They haven't announced which 4 games yet, as the schedule hasn't come out yet, but keep an eye on that as the schedule will be announced shortly. And hopefully New Jersey. And they're going to only wear them at the Prudential Center, so they're only going to be worn at home, which is awesome if you're a New Jersey Devils fan, because if you're going to the rink, you're going to get to see 1980 Brendan Shanahan, Ken Danico, Bruce Driver, Sean Burke, Chris Terreri.
Oh, bringing back names.
Alexander Cimak, John McClain, those guys
those
wearing
guys.
Them. Brendan Shanahan.
Brendan Shanahan. That was
a long time ago.
It's like when he started.
You know what? Speaking of that, you know who else wore it when he started? For one season. He was his last season before they moved to the new red and black jerseys. Do you know who wore it? A young man by the name of Scott Niedermeyer.
Scott Niedermeyer.
Do you know what number he wore that year? It was not 27.
It would not be 27. I wouldn't know what number he wore.
I believe it was 48.
48, okay.
So there's a little trivia for you. If you want to get your heritage jersey set up with Scott Niedermeyer in terms of his rookie season.
Yeah, 48.
Scott Niedermeyer as a rookie wore number. It was either 48 or 42. I'm just going to see if I can find it on here. See if I can find it here.
So is that
oh, no, I lied. It's 42, sorry. 42. So no, 48. 48 right here. No, I was looking at the wrong guy.
Is it the...
That's 27.
Was it the only year he wore that number?
It was the only year he wore that number. It was his rookie season.
Because then he became...
1991 he wore it, but 1992 he wore the green and red, but he wore it as 27, though. Yeah. So
that was... That's when he became... Scott.
That's when he was the full... That was his last full season. 92-93 was
when,
his last full
when
season.
When he became 27, that's
or
when
his first
he
full
became...
Season, excuse me.
That's when he became Scott Niedermeyer.
Exactly. So... Scotty Niedermeyer, there you go, wearing number 48 if you want to get his rookie set up there.
That's probably one of the nicest jerseys, nicest throwback jerseys there is.
I'll be honest, I love it, but I'm also the guy that preaches that there should be more green in hockey. The color green does not get you, and not like, we're not talking about like Vancouver Canucks like green, not like that goofy, you know, sort of tealish green. Yeah. We're talking like pure green. Like we're talking like Dallas Stars green. We're talking like Markham Thunder green.
Hartford Whalers green.
Exactly. Minnesota North Stars green. Yeah. Like we're talking that color. Those colors of green need to be brought back a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But again, traditionalists.
Hey, it sounds like you might have a team in Seattle. Maybe they'll bring back some
that
would, green.
And I could see the Timbers, if you're going to use a name like that or something like that.
I mean, the Seattle Supersonics wore green.
Sonics wore green, exactly. Their
Seahawks.
Their Seahawks wear the soccer team, whatever, the Sounders, they
Sounders.
Wear green.
Yeah. There's a lot of green in Seattle.
Again, I think that's a good idea.
Seattle Mariners wear kind of a green.
Listen, we're not talking about them. Locally, though, Jets signed Nicholas Kurdeles, acquired in the trade for Chase DeLeo with Anaheim to a one-year two-way deal worth $650,000 in the K. Chances are he'll start with the Moose, but there could be a good chance if there's injuries that he could get called up. So, 24-year-old, got some punch in terms
just
of scoring.
Give a guy, two guys, different opportunities, different clubs.
Yeah, no, that's all right. This isn't close to home, but I'll go AHL just because there's really one note to note here.
Yep.
Austin Fighton. Brother of former Manitoba Bison captain Caitlin Fighton from the women's hockey team, currently graduated and living soundly, I believe, in Alberta.
Off to better things.
Off to bigger and, I don't know about better, but certainly more exciting things. Austin Fighton, it was noted, has left the Texas Stars, signed with the Providence Bruins. Oh. So we won't see him this year. Providence will not play Manitoba, but...
So he's on an AHL contract.
He is on an AHL deal with Providence and will get a shot with the Bruins in terms of trying to keep his career in the AHL at least and hopefully maybe a little bit further. There who knows?
Keep it going.
Okay, so we've done some local stuff there. You want to go... I can't really say this is local. This isn't local because it happened in the United Kingdom, but we got Bison's news. You want Bison's news?
Sure. I heard some people are playing out there. Are going to be playing. Are they out there now?
They are out there.
They are out there.
Bison Men's Hockey are doing their United Kingdom tour right now. Tuesday, they rolled into Manchester, England.
Good place. Good soccer clubs.
Yeah, good soccer clubs. Facing the EIHL, the English English Ice Hockey League, the Manchester Storm. Final score, 4-3 for the Storm.
Ooh.
So close game. Good for the Bison. Harrison Rupp opened the scoring in the first period for the Storm before they doubled the lead late in the second with a goal off the stick of Mike Hammond. So 2-0 lead at that point. And then the third period happened. Former Portage Terrier Jeremy Leipzig, one of the recruits that they were excited about, cut the lead in half early as he scored just a minute into the third period in what was definitely a more physical third period. There was a fight and everything.
Oh, wow.
Felix Antoine Poulin restored the two-goal lead a few minutes later. The Bison, literally a minute later, stormed back with a goal of their own off the stick of Devin Skaleski to make it 3-2. And then Manitoba would pull even with under 10 minutes to play when Keaton Jameson scored for the 3-3 equalizer. Unfortunately for the Bisons, Evan Richardson's goal with the Storm with less than 2 minutes to play would be the winner as Manchester escaped with the 4-3 victory. Just as a note, most of the Bisons that have gone over there are not the veterans or the rookies. So heck of a showing right now for the Bisons right now if the rookies are playing this well.
Yeah, that's a good start against a pro club.
For example, Byron Spriggs, I don't believe, went over there. So he should be their starting goaltender this year. Bison will play the Fife Flyers today as their tour continues. And then they'll roll into Belfast to play the Giants on Saturday and Sunday. All your details for these games can be found on gobisons.ca. Probably a good idea to get over there and check into that. As of right now, no radio for any of these teams. All of their radio broadcast partners have decided not to air these preseason games. On top of that, the Manchester had Storm TV, I think it's called, or whatever, which is their like direct like web stream. It's £10 to view the stream. That's $17 Canadian to watch an exhibition game.
That you're probably not going to pay for.
Fife doesn't even offer that, so you can't even get one there. But Belfast does, and they have two games there, so you'd be paying $34 to watch two Bison games. $34 for two Bison games will get you into two Bison games, plus get you all the concessions and everything you need here in Winnipeg.
I'm not going to tell you to do this, but I would wait till they come back.
And maybe wait, yeah. Yeah, sounds like a good idea.
Yeah. Where did Theron Fleury play? Do you remember? Did he play Belfast?
He did play for Belfast, yeah.
He did.
He was there for a while, yeah. Speaking of Bisons, women's hockey team opens their camp on Monday. So camp will break. They will get into their camp in terms of trying to figure out who's playing where this season. But they will be making a special appearance at Shaw Park on Tuesday. The Gold Ice play host to Hockey Night again. Slapshot's Denny Lemieux will be there to sign autographs. The Fish Battle St. Paul Saints in hockey-themed uniforms that night.
Nice.
The Bisons will be in attendance, and fans are encouraged to wear their hockey jerseys to win hockey-themed prizes all night. I'm going to say it right now. I already have a ticket, and I'm going.
Well, and you have a lot of hockey jerseys you can wear.
I have a couple I can select
from. You can wear one every inning.
So get your tickets. Head down to the ballpark. Visit goldeyes.ca to get some information on that. But, I mean, another big night. Denny Lemieux always shows up for this, it seems. Like, he's here, like, every year for the Gold Eyes to come and do this. I think he's, like, he might be on the roster or on their payroll at some point now.
Yeah.
Fish aren't doing so hot this season, though, just an FYI. So don't expect it to be, like, a battle of the best. I'm not being honest.
The last 2 years, anyway.
Exactly. Yeah. No, the Fish of the last 2 years have been outstanding. They've won two championships. Yeah. But this year, they stepped back a little bit. But get down there, meet the Bisons for sure. These are the women. Most of these women have won the national championship last year. There'll be a few Bison, obviously, that are new in terms of who are going to be down there. But get down there, wear a jersey, win some gear, win some prizes from the Gold Eyes, and meet all of the local women hockey stars, as well as Danny Lemieux, the goaltending star from the movie Slapshot.
And you're out at the ballpark. Nothing better than being at the ballpark, smelling all that. Those ballpark franks.
Ballpark dogs. That's what I'm talking about.
Haven't gone to Gold Eyes game in a while. I kind of miss it.
Do you?
Yeah.
There you go. Tuesday night. Clear your schedule.
You can tell my wife that.
Never mind then.
You tell her. I really want him to come with me.
If we do, other youth sports news here. UBC, the UBC Thunderbirds, the women's hockey team, is currently 1-1 versus Team Shenzhen. That's the development team that the Chinese team is putting together in preparation for the 2022 Winter Olympics.
Yep.
They even the series. UBC even the series with a 3-1 win last night after dropping a 3-0 game on Monday. Shaylee McConnell, Matea Fisher, and Mikhailo Grodnichuk, who we had on the show, scored goals last night. Tori Miklish, who's from Winnipeg, she ended up earning the win. Game 3 goes tonight at 9 p.m. Central Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time. So if you're listening in BC right now, you got time to get down there to see this game. Game 3 in the rubber match right here.
Go for
it. Well, not right here, I guess, but right there out at Father David Bauer Arena in BC.
If you're listening in BC, go.
I say get down there. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be good hockey. It looks like it's good hockey anyway. Which brings me to something that I wanted to bring up. And this is where we're going to maybe have a bit of a discussion. Because it seems that something has changed.
Uh-oh. Change is not good.
And I only say this because I think it's important to highlight something very important about what's going on. So with Shenzhen rolling into BC, BC has four players that went to their development camp this summer in May. So those four players that went over and played from UBC have a chance to make the Chinese Olympic team, which is great. Mm-hmm. I have nothing wrong with that. Take nothing away from those players. They deserve to go over there. They deserve to. Tiffany Chu, Shaylee Tony, Emily Costales, and Jenna Fletcher all have Chinese heritage and all went over there and tried out for the team.
Yeah.
Rob Morgan, who's the GM of this team, spoke with CBC's Claire Hennig earlier this week, or I guess last week now. And he said this, quote, "One of the initiatives now is to identify North Americans of Chinese descent who can help China medal, and that's truly the goal of the government." The Chinese Ice Hockey Federation and mm-hmm. Kunlun Red Star. But truly the goal of the government is to medal. Medal. Not like medal, like M-E-T-T. But to medal.
Like headbang, right. Medal.
No, to medal, like to medal into yeah, in affairs. Yeah, but no. But their goal is to help China medal as per the government.
Yeah.
So, which means that if they're over here scouting North Americans, how many Chinese-born players are going to be playing for that team?
Probably not many.
So if that's what they're doing, and full power to them, they can go ahead and build their team any way they want.
Yeah.
But if that's what they're doing, is this truly a Chinese team?
They're not, and they're not developing the game in China as well.
Correct. I mean, they may have one or two standouts who will sit at the end of the bench, but
just like
we're talking about NCAA and U Sports players for the most part filling this roster that are going to be going to the Olympics.
Sounds very much like the Chinese professional hockey league team.
Put a couple
Chinese players on a team, but then fill it mostly with.
Well, not mostly with. It was six North American, but they've dominated the ice time.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And that's exactly what happened. Yeah. Is that the chasm between the Chinese-born players and the North American-born Chinese heritage players is so wide right now that there's almost no point of the Chinese for the Chinese government to even go, well, you know what? Let's take a couple of these players from who were born here.
Yeah,
because they're so far behind, and I get that. But this is the problem with trying to jump in and be a competitive team without actually building anything below it. Your foundation is useless right now. You've got nobody to rely on in case anybody, you know, decides they don't want to play. And again, I take nothing away from the four women from UBC who went over.
Yep.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Emily Costales has graduated now. She's not even playing on the team. But I take nothing away from the women who went over there to try and make this team.
Yep.
It's a chance for them to go to the Olympics.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But if you're not going to actually develop hockey in your country, what's the point? If this is just for appearances in 2022, and then in 2026 you go, to hell with it.
Well, and that's what it's going to be, right?
But this is the problem, though, and I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, but this is the problem with building a team out of a garbage idea.
Yeah.
And garbage can be replaced with the letters BS if you really want to.
Because the government meddle in,
right.
in these issues.
So the Chinese government approaches the CWHL and says, hey, we want to get a couple of teams going. We want to try and accelerate this. They find out last year that the Chinese players that are playing on these teams are nowhere near as good as the North American players. And granted, there's some good North American players over there.
Yeah.
Kelly Stack was unbelievable.
Yep.
Like, there's some great, great players over there that went over and played.
Yeah.
They were hockey ambassadors, they, you know, in terms of trying to grow the game, trying to get kids into the game, trying to do all that stuff. But we're now 4 years away. There is no way you can build an Olympic program in 4 years. Nope. There are countries, Czech Republic, Slovakia, who have been working since that country split, and they still aren't on the same level as Finland, Sweden, Russia. And Sweden's program is garbage now, too.
Yeah.
But the Swiss, the Finns, the Russians have worked for years, for decades at trying to build their program.
To get up to Canada, U.S.
They're standards. Still not even
still
close
not
to
even
that.
Close.
Right. But that's what we're talking about. Yeah. Canada and the U.S., when they went back and they played the World Championships way back, way in the early 1990s, way back, was already heads and shoulders above everybody else.
Yeah.
The Americans, in seeing what happened in 1994, in terms of the World Championship, said, we've got some good players, but we got to start developing players.
Yeah.
We got to start getting some, and they put a ton of money and resources into that.
Yeah.
And they came out and they won the gold medal in Nagano.
Yeah.
The difference between China and the U.S., though, is that the U.S. already had world-class caliber players. The Chinese don't even have players that can beat the UBC Thunderbirds right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they have. They beat them 3-0. But in a seven-game series, I take UBC over the development team.
For sure.
Ten out of ten times.
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a long time to build a program, and throwing an all-star, quote-unquote, an all-star team together for a one-off Olympics.
To me, it's all about appearances.
Yeah, there's no point of even saying you're trying to develop anything, because you're not. You're just going at it to, you know, even like they're probably not even going to win a medal.
Well, okay, but they aren't, and that's the thing, yeah. Though, is they are not even come close, because you're not going to beat. You might get lucky and you might beat, say, Sweden.
Yeah.
Sweden, whose program's on the dumps right now, needs some help, needs to get through that. But whatever, that's fine. You might beat Japan. You might beat France.
Yep.
I would argue you probably won't beat either of those teams, but regardless.
You might, yeah.
You are not beating Russia. You are not beating Finland. No. And you are not beating the Swiss.
No.
I don't care what it comes down to. Those teams have developed players over the last 20 or so years, over the last 15, over the last 10 years,
yep.
Far better because they've had the resources of putting them into, say, NCAA hockey or into U Sports hockey, for example.
Yep.
There are good players on all of those teams. You've got to go through at least 3 to 4 teams now just to make the podium on the bronze medal stage.
And the chances of making it past those teams aren't good. So
not only is it not good, you're going to have to beat one of those teams twice because you're going to meet one of them in the bronze medal game.
So why not? Why not develop so that, you know, maybe not in the 4 years or even the 8 years, but 12 years down the road, you have a competitive team that can compete for a medal. Instead of just throwing all your eggs in one basket.
So in 98 in Nagano, China finished fourth in the tournament.
Yep.
And then after that, they did nothing.
Yep.
They didn't even bother to have a team. They didn't fund the team. They didn't put any money into it. They didn't do anything. And then 2022, we got the Winter Olympics.
Yeah.
Time to put on a show, everybody.
It's like when it's close. Well, I mean, they weren't even in North Korea. Like.
But this is the cause, though. They went to the World Championships last year and got their butts handed to them.
Yeah.
And this is where I go, it doesn't matter how much money you're going to pour into this. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. You're literally building a team out of North American-born players.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to put on a show. It's not even a real Chinese team.
Yep.
Yes, there's Chinese heritage players playing. They have heritage. They have their grandparents or their parents have played. Were born in China and certainly immigrated into Canada. There is a lineage there. I get that. It's not like Jeff Glass going to play for or Matt Murley, for example, going to play for North Korea or South Korea.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I get that Murley's been there forever and he's they're going to just accept him as a again. We're talking about, Dawes playing for Kazakhstan.
Yeah.
I get that Nigel Dawes was not born in Kazakhstan. He's lived there. He's become part of the fabric of the community. He gets all this. I understand what's going on here. I totally get it.
Mm-hmm.
But for this to be called a Chinese Olympic team is a slap in the face to every other hardworking federation now that is trying to improve through the regular means. And for China to come in and just go, you know what? We'll just pick up anybody who's got lineage. Let's go.
Even for the girls that from China that have worked hard to try to be
and
better.
And that's the other thing.
Right? That's a slap in the face to them. Yeah, that's...
I mean, you can't plug the holes in the dam without actually watching the dam fall apart. And that's what's happening here. Is that there are too many holes in the dam. But that's only because you built it out of plaster and lath in terms of... It's not going to hold water. So go out, build it properly, get the fundamentals down, start sending your teams to tournaments, start training your players, start allowing them to have a year-round commitment to training.
Well, and here's another thing. A lot of these girls are going to live in North America. How do you get them to get all together and train together?
Oh, you don't.
Eat together.
You
it's
don't.
Just, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's going to be an all-star team that you just throw on the ice once and see what happens.
I mean, you can say the same thing about any other Olympic team as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's an actual period where they come together and they train together. I get that.
Yeah. And there's money in,
yeah.
You know, given to them and their money.
But for this, like if you're in school, you won't be able to leave school unless you'll be able to leave for the Olympics, but you won't be able to leave for extended periods of time.
Yeah.
And we saw it with Venla Hovi. Hovi left in December when the exam time was done and she didn't come back until, the end of the Olympics.
Yeah.
but she got the time off for a specific reason, and it was a, I'd say, a pretty good reason.
Yeah,
but it's not like she left in the middle of September and said, "Well, I'll just take the year, and you know what? I'll see you guys when I'm done."
Yeah, yeah. I mean, a lot of these ladies are going to have jobs and families and whatever else, and they might as well just have the China team training in North America then. If that's where they're all going to be from.
That might be the next step if that's
cheaper.
What happens. Yeah.
It'd be cheaper for them.
But, so, yeah, I find this to be concerning because I don't think this is going to work the way that they're hoping it will. I think that if it goes poorly, I think that China will never field the team again because the embarrassment is not going to sit well with those in power. And these women who had their dreams of going to the Olympics, again, like the South Korean women, if South Korea continues to fund their team and things happen and players get better, okay, great. But if you're going to go and nobody's, or the North Korean team, and nobody's going to put money into this anymore, what's the point?
Yep. Just for a gimmick, a show.
Just to say that we were there and we tried.
Yeah. Well, I hope things change. I mean, it's a problem when you get non-hockey people making decisions.
Wow.
And putting their weight behind something. Just doesn't always pay off. But I guess we'll find out. We'll find out what happens in 4 years.
I got nothing to say about that. Anyway, take a quick break, folks. We're at the break time in terms of what's going on. Legal ID is going to be about a minute long here, so we'll be back right after that.
Enough for cookies and milk.
We got a bunch of other stuff to go through. We'll rip through that in a few moments there, folks. Back in a few minutes here on The Hockey Show, 101.5 UMFM.
Our founding fathers guaranteed us certain protections. The freedom of speech, freedom of religion, the freedom to own and play stringed instruments of all kinds. Those founding fathers didn't place restrictions on these freedoms. They didn't say the right to play guitar shall not be violated except when used to play Green Day's Time of Your Life over and over again in the common area of your dorm. No! Where will these restrictions end? A background check when you want to take up a banjo? A 5-day waiting period to buy a Telecaster? An all-out ban on the Flying V? Or, dare I say, whammy bar? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, it is up to you to defend our right to keep and bear guitars.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5, broadcasting at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, defending your rights as well as the rights of others since 1998.
And we are back here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. So we've gone through most... we didn't do one local thing. One local story.
We missed a local story.
Hometown Hockey announced that they're coming back for another year. Show number 100 will be this year as they go back to London, Ontario, where they kicked it all off last year. But there'll be two stops in Manitoba on back-to-back weeks.
So they're going to bring their sleeping bags out here.
Apparently, they're going to be staying here long term.
Nice.
On March 2nd and 3rd, the Sportsnet show will be in Winkler, Manitoba.
Winkler.
Home to Dustin Penner, Eric Fair, and the Winkler Flyers.
And the Winkler Flyers. And a lot of other things.
Well, a lot of other things, too. As the Jets play in Columbus on Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time on Sportsnet that night. Following that week, the caravan heads east to Steinbach. March 9th and 10th, where the Steinbach Pistons play.
They're going to the good old Mennonite towns.
As the Jets are in Washington to battle the Stanley Cup champions on Sunday night at 5:30 p.m. Central Time on Sportsnet. You know what, Beans?
What?
We're going to saddle up the show for one of those weeks.
I would say we should.
We are going to saddle up the show for one of those weeks. We're going to head out to one of those places, and we're going to see if we can get in. We got some contacts at Sportsnet. We'll see if we can...
And we got some contacts in Steinbach as well.
We do.
We don't have many in Winkler.
We can probably find a few, though. We're pretty good at talking to people.
You are pretty good at that.
I try.
You know what, though? Like, my wife's cousin is cousins with Eric Fair, so I got a connection there.
He might be a little busy this year. He's playing for the Minnesota Wild.
Wow, so. But he's close.
Yeah, but they're not going to be in town, though.
Maybe he's got family. I think
he probably does have family.
He had brothers that were in sports.
Sure, yeah. I mean, if you're planning on being around anywhere in March here in Manitoba, Winkler, Manitoba, March 2nd and 3rd will be where Sportsnet is. Followed that by that, it'll be 9th and 10th in Steinbach, Manitoba. So make sure you clear your schedule for that. Sounds like it's going to be a little bit of fun.
Nice.
A little bit of fun.
You'll see some Ron McLean.
You'll probably see a little bit of Ron McLean in there, yeah. Yeah. might see a little bit of Tara Sloan. I'm sure there'll be a few notable names, Dustin Penner, who show up and want to talk a little hockey as well.
Does Dustin Penner live back here?
I don't think he lives back here, but I'm almost certain they may have him back just
bring
for that.
Bring his Stanley Cup.
Just have him drop by and show off his jewelry.
Yeah.
Where else do you want to go?
I would love to go a lot of places.
Okay, let's start. Let's go. KHL. KHL's only got a few notes this week. Former Anaheim Duck defenseman Vitaly Vishnevsky. You might remember that name.
Sounds familiar.
Vitaly Vishnevsky announced that he's re-retiring.
Retired.
He announced it on Monday.
Re-retiring.
He came out of retirement last season after retiring in 2015 to help Severstal Sharapovitz make the KHL playoffs, and decided that he was done with hockey again, and he's now retired again.
Well, you
so
know.
Re-retiring for
when someone Vishnevsky gives you the opportunity for 30, a playoff run.
He's 38 years old. He came out and played the whole season, though.
Oh, he played. It wasn't just like
I'll show up for the playoffs. It's good, guys.
Yeah, it doesn't show up all year.
And in a very strange move. This has to do with something. Maybe he got a better offer somewhere else. Yaroslavl Lokomotiv has announced that it will terminate the deal it recently signed with centerman David Desharnais. So I don't know what's going on with Lokomotiv, but they've been terminating contracts of North Americans all over the place.
Trump.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
I don't know. Russia and North America.
Yeah. We'll bounce a little bit west as we drop in on the German Elite League, because there was a game on Friday, August 17th, between the Krefeld Penguin and the Iserlohn Rooster.
That's right. We talked about that.
Let's get into this.
We got some stats.
Let's get into this. Brandon Reed saw his team jump out and try and grab the lead early, but defender James Batauer, he rung a shot off the post in the fourth minute. Through the first 20, it was scoreless. However, in the 26th minute, Chad Costello, a former Iserlohn Rooster last season, he opened the scoring on a 5-on-3 power play to make it 1-0 for the Penguin. Iserlohn came roaring back, though, 2 minutes later when Kevin Schmidt beat Patrick Klein on a breakaway to make it a 1-1 contest. 4 minutes after tying the game, Iserlohn grabbed the lead when Evan Trupp found the back of the net for the 2-1 marker. And that score would remain intact right through the intermission. So 2-1 through 40 minutes. All right.
There you go.
With under 8 minutes to play in a very physical and very spirited third period that saw Krefeld take 7 penalties.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
And kill them all off.
Well, that's better. Sounds better.
Krefeld struck when Gregor Hansen hit Martin Lefebvre with a pass, and Lefebvre spotted Matthias Tretenis. Matthias Tretenis. If I could spit that name properly.
That's a tongue twister.
I know. That's right. It was the two T's. Matthias Tretenis. All alone in front to make it 2-2. The final horn would see that score stand, so the teams would engage in a skills competition to decide a winner in the exhibition contest.
Oh, nice. What does that skills competition insist of?
In the shootout. Just the shootout. It's not a skills competition.
I would like to see stick handling and hardest shot.
Well, there was only one player who scored.
Oh.
But he wasn't wearing the visiting Penguin jersey.
No.
Travis Turnbull scored on Iserlohn's fourth shot to give the Rooster the 3-2 shootout victory over the Penguin, now putting the preseason record for the Penguin at 1-0-1 for the Penguin.
Well, you know what? That's
Brandon Reed was really happy apparently with his team. The two games they went to Iserlohn last year, Krefeld got crushed.
Where did Iserlohn finish in the?
They were near the top. Yeah.
So hey, Brandon Reed's bringing something there.
So on Saturday, the Penguin are going to travel to. Let's see if I can pronounce this. His name is. I don't even know. I'm not Hungarian, so if I mess this up,
this place doesn't
shoot
exist.
Me. Szekesfehérvár.
Sure.
Yep. Szekesfehérvár.
I believe you.
Hungary to play the Hungarian club, the Fehérvár AV19, who actually play in the Austrian Erste Bank Hockey League. So you'll like this tie-in, though. Here's where things get a little crazy, because we talk about how the Manitoba tie-ins are all over the world.
Yep.
Fehérvár's head coach, you want to take a shot at who that might be? Remember how he said Petri Skriko, former Winnipeg Jet coached in the Metalligan?
Yeah.
This is another Winnipeg Jet that's coaching. Another, ironically, another Finnish Winnipeg Jet that's coaching in the Austrian Erste Bank League with Fehérvár.
Old Finnish Jet, Teppo Nieminen.
No, not Teppo. You gonna give up? Because I don't think you're gonna get this anyway. Finnish great and former Winnipeg Jet Hannu Järvenpää. Hannu Järvenpää is the head coach of Färjestad.
Can you use Winnipeg Jet great?
I can use Winnipeg Jet. No, I said Finnish great, former Winnipeg Jet.
Is he a Finnish great?
He was, actually, yeah. Oh, they finished ninth last season in the Austrian League. They missed the playoffs by 4 points. More Manitoba tie-ins. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Olivier Letendresse. He played 3 games with the Manitoba Moose a few years ago. He was the second leading scorer last year for Färjestad. And Matt Carruth, he was a Blackhawks pick who played with the Portland Winterhawks in junior. He's their starting netminder. So they got pretty good netminder in terms of having guys along there. But again, the tie-ins are from Manitoba just all over the place.
Just continue to surprise us.
Out of nowhere, Hannu Järvenpää pops up on the radar.
Järvenpää. That's a great name.
It's like it might be one of the better names in hockey. Like Hack and Lube was another good one.
Lube, yeah.
Pear Juice. Former Detroit Red Wing Pear Juice.
I would like some Pear Juice right now.
Yeah, there you go. See?
I'm thirsty.
See, you're getting in on it. let's see what else we got here. Oh, we got some news from the Canadian Professional Women's League, as we were talking about. So we heard earlier this summer that Fielding Montgomery of the Markham Thunder was stepping away from the team and from the game to focus on her PhD and play a little senior league hockey.
Yep.
Today, the team announced 3 more players who will not suit up this season, as Carolina Urban, who announced her retirement shortly after winning the Clarkson Cup, Jessica Hartwick, and former guest here on the hockey show, Melissa Ronsberg, will all pursue other interests this season.
On to new opportunities.
New opportunities, new chances to do stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of Ronzi, Melissa's actually going to be doing something awesome in the next few weeks. Melissa's participating in her third straight Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer tournament. As you recall, when we talked to her on the interview, her cousin had cancer and lost the battle with that. So she's taking pledges to raise funds, and if she hits her goal of $1,028, she's donating her hair to cancer.
Get that total.
She legitimately has some flowing locks. So I want to see this happen.
Let's make
happen. And I'm not saying that to be mean to Melissa. I mean, raising $1,000 for cancer is fantastic. Cancer research is fantastic. But I just want to see it because she made the bet.
You know what? When people are offering their hair, you want to make sure that they give it.
Exactly. Even if you can only give like 50 cents, it's still 50 cents closer to her getting her head, head shaved.
It's one step closer.
The link will be found on the show preview page on Hockey Blog in Canada after the show. I'll post that up there so you can get everything going on that, because I think that's a fantastic idea.
Yep.
See, maybe we can squeeze a little money out of GM Jared and see if he'll...
he's tight, though.
I know, but still, we'll see what we can do. Other big news out of that league is that the Boston Blades have decided to move an hour west to Worcester, Massachusetts.
So now they're the Worcester Blades?
They are the Worcester Blades. The funny part is that they have this brand new logo. No, new logo is fantastic, too.
Okay.
Like, don't get me wrong, in terms of everything that's going on there. They are not going to be playing in the Worcester Railers Arena, which is the DCU Center. That holds up to 12,000 people. They will be playing, however, in the Fidelity Bank Worcester Ice Center, which is the practice facility where the Worcester Railers play, the ECHL team there. It holds about 750 fans, and I think that's a perfect size for the Blades right now, that are trying to sort of establish themselves in that Massachusetts market a little bit better.
Yeah.
They were playing in front of crowds last year of dozens. Like, we're not talking... there was one game...
Not hundreds of dozens.
No. I was going through some of the games last year. Like, there was a game where they played in front of 88 people.
Wow.
We get more to games here for the Bisons.
Yeah. I mean, they're not only competing with the Bruins.
Oh, there's a ton.
And Providence. You know,
they got Boston College, Boston University. Yeah. I mean, all the NCAA programs. They got the Boston Bruins. They got the Boston Pride from the American League.
Yeah.
Like, plus all, again, Providence Bruins are there, as we were talking about in terms of Providence, Rhode Island. You can go see them. But, I mean, we're talking about all the minor league hockey that goes on in Massachusetts. Like aside from Minnesota, Massachusetts is like the next big hockey market in America. And that's... Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for them because they were sort of out on the outskirts of town when they were playing, and nobody was making the drive out there.
Yeah. And they're competing with so many things, and it's tough.
So now that they moved to Worcester, I mean, Worcester's a smaller city than Boston, obviously, but they'll have a more focused sort of, I guess, setup in terms of what's going to happen. The rink that they're playing in is absolutely gorgeous. The Fidelity Bank Worcester Ice Center has all sorts of stuff. They have a restaurant, a cafe, a fitness center, a physical therapy center, skate sharpening facilities, and a pro shop right on site. So it's basically a one-stop shop for hockey, which is awesome.
In terms it's like of going to the Highlander.
Yeah, well, a little bit better than that.
Well, yeah, better than. It's like going to the Iceplex.
Yeah, there you go. That's you a little. Go. That's more like it. Yeah. I don't know if this will reflect any sort of improvement in the standings right away. But let's be honest here. Boston's starting over in terms of what they're doing. They have a brand new GM in Derek Alfama. They have a brand new coach in Paul Kennedy, who worked extensively with Hockey USA. They have a brand new logo. They have a brand new rink. They have a brand new city. Like, this is a brand new team up. And as we heard from Jetta Ratcliffe earlier in the summer of interviews that we were doing, like, she's super excited to get back on the ice and get playing.
Yeah.
There may be another Blade coming on in the future.
Oh, wow.
I may have...
Wooster Blade?
A Wooster Blade. We can actually use the name Wooster Blade.
Are they actually changing their name to Wooster?
It is the Wooster Blades, yeah.
Wow. I like it.
Like, their
like
Twitter handle and everything is Wooster now.
I like it.
And again,
better.
Folks, if you're looking at a map and you're trying to go, where the hell is the city? W-O-R-C-E-S-T-E-R. It's,
but it's
it looks like Worcester, but it's pronounced Wooster.
They're from Boston. You
well,
pronounce it like
the team is from Boston, but it's from Worcester.
But you got to pronounce it like you're from Massachusetts, like you're from Boston.
So the rink that they play in, they're going to share with the Worcester University Lancers as well. So, I mean, there's already a pretty good crowd going to those games as it is anyway.
Yeah.
So there might be a good opportunity here for the Blades to sort of partner with some of the Lancer games and maybe make it a double header or a double feature there in terms of getting stuff going. So
there you go.
Nice to see the Worcester Blades maybe getting a little bit of an advantage now because they were fighting I'm not even going to say an uphill battle. It was straight up for them in terms of trying to attract fans. It was straight up for them in terms of trying to go anywhere in terms of getting Boston fans to come out and stuff. So,
well, that's good.
I don't know if we have anything else. I'm just flipping pages here looking.
Oh, man. Quickly. What are we going to do?
We went through a lot.
Skippy, you here?
Hold on. We got other stuff here.
Skippy, you here?
We got other stuff. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. Okay, so I want to bring up, I mean, and again, we talked a little bit about this at the end of the, and I know you probably didn't think about it all week, because why would you? But, no, I mean, just saying, because it doesn't affect you in terms of what's going on.
I don't think all week.
But I want to bring up the same idea again of the, and I found out who it was in terms of the woman who's leaving, in terms of what happened at Lethbridge with Michelle Janis.
Yes.
So Olivia Alexander is the player that is going to be leaving. Or it has left. She will not return. She doesn't want to play for the team anymore. She doesn't want to be part of the school anymore. Doesn't want to be associated with it anymore. I don't know. Like, there's new news coming out literally, like, every couple of minutes here today. just reading this right now. Four players are suing the University of Lethbridge Sport and Recreation Services Executive Director Ken McInnes and Michelle Janis in relation to the complaints that were leveled against the coach earlier this month. Olivia Alexander, Alana Jensen, Chelsea Kasprick, and Brittany Sawyer all now suing them as well, saying they for damages in excess of, $1.1 million, saying they were subjected to the harassing, demeaning conduct, representations, omission, and or negligence of both McInnes and Janis while playing for the Pronghorns. Oh. Like, this is just getting worse and worse in terms of how in terms of how it's being how it's not being handled by the university. They came down and they said, despite the fact there was harassment, we're going to allow her to continue to coach, which obviously this wasn't going to sit well with the players. But, like, I don't know how you would correct this without getting rid of those two people now.
I mean, you look at some of the big, colleges in the States and stuff like that with their football programs and stuff like that. I know it's not the same, but...
No, don't even bring up that because the Urban Meyer garbage is going to...
I was going to go with the Joe Paterno.
Okay, that's...
Joe Paterno and the Lions.
But that's... I mean, that's...
It's a different...
It's completely
it's different, yeah. But I mean, but how did they handle it? They got rid of him. I mean, they got rid of everybody.
But the thing that kills me though is that these are players that that are currently enrolled, at least they were enrolled at the university,
yep.
That were playing, that want to play, that simply will not go back now because the university decided that, well, it was harassment, but it was okay.
But what I'm getting at with Joe Paterno is Joe Paterno was one of the greatest coaches in college football history, and they got rid of him. because of this. So what is this? What are they doing here with?
But that's what I mean, though. Like, we're talking about a setup now where you're going to cripple this team, because there are going to be players that will never go, well, the entire program, that will never go to Lethbridge now, because why would I if I see other players being treated like this?
Yeah, if there's the reputation of this happening there, why would you subject yourself to that harassment if you don't have to?
To be honest, I don't know what you do to fix. I mean, I know what you do to fix
this. Yeah, we do know what to do.
But I don't know what you do to fix the situation when it comes to how the players view the program now as well. Because, I mean, we're talking about a team that, okay, granted, they're not the greatest team in Canada West, but they were improving.
You clean house. You have to clean house.
But that's the thing, though, is that if Janis involved other players, would you have to get rid of those players as well? Because it sounds like she would allow the players to confide in her and then tell other players about what was going on.
So she had her group. She had, like, groups.
It sounded like she pitted an us versus them, yeah, situation.
Hmm. Yeah, that'd be tough. Be tough to, because then you can't just, I guess, do you just say all the,
and I mean, and I mean, let's,
you can't say
and,
all the players but can't I mean, play anymore either.
And let's not overlook the fact that one player who was going to commit suicide was told she should probably go talk to somebody, or she should probably suck it up rather than going to talk to somebody.
That's
like we're talking about serious forms of negligence, yeah. and I don't know, I mean, you can't call that harassment, but serious forms of conduct that simply would not stand in 99.9% of workplaces, of households, yeah. of anywhere. Like, this is abhorrent behavior. If all of these allegations are true, this is abhorrent behavior by a head coach.
You're in a position where the people under you, your players, whoever, are they confide in you in certain situations, in certain things, in certain aspects of your life, and if you're not there for them and you treat them like garbage, you know, that's tough. That program is losing bad right now.
Well, but I mean, this is the thing, and you go, they start playing hockey. Like, they play hockey on October 5th is their opening game. We're talking about like 6 weeks from puck drop.
Do they gonna have enough girls to play?
I can't answer that. I wish I could, but I can't. Because right now, I don't know who's playing and who's not.
No. I wouldn't doubt if you see that program just like
suspended until they figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, how do you go on? How do you, that's a,
but you, so yeah. You have a coach that's embroiled in a harassment suit now. Six to eight players have brought the harassment charges against her. She was found to be negligent, whatever, by the university. Yeah. Now you turn around and she's involved in an actual civil lawsuit. And they're still taking it to U Sports to have U Sports review the case as well. How do you have a coach a team when she's embroiled in legal battles with the player she's supposed to be coaching?
And yet you still trust her to be your coach.
Well, I don't think they trust her.
Well,
but
someone does.
The university does.
Yeah, which is,
it's insanity to think that this is normal and this is okay by any means, by any stretch, by any measurement.
Yeah.
And the university is basically saying, yeah, no big deal. Yeah, she was bad. She did bad things, but it's okay.
There's been worse.
Listen.
There's been worse.
This is the University of Lethbridge, okay?
You know how many bad things happen here?
I don't know. I don't know about that part, but
that's the way it sounds,
you
know?
This is the University of Lethbridge, okay? We don't let this kind of stuff get out. Oh, no, it's out. And it's being reported on.
Well, if it gets out, we don't talk about it. I don't know. That seems like
but
a
this
lot
is
of...
Right, but this is where you go, what do you do now? Like,
what to do.
No, but I'm not, and I'm not trying, but no, but as a player or as a fan, as a supporter, as alumni, what do you do? Like, you can't tell the players not to go forward with this if they feel like they're being harassed and bullied and whatever else. Yeah. Yet you can't tell the coach, you know what, coach, keep it up, doing a great job, doing a fantastic job, making strides.
Yeah, I don't know. That's... The program is lost.
It...
Right now.
I got nothing... Nothing but...
I would not want to be around... Personally, that would make me very uncomfortable to be around there. I would just leave.
You as a player would just leave?
As a player, I would leave. I would... If it didn't affect my education at all, I would not play.
I will tell you this right now. November 9th and 10th, the Lethbridge Pronghorns are coming to Manitoba for a game. I don't know if Michelle Janis is going to be on the bench at that point. I don't know where she'll be. I don't know what's going to happen over the next 6 weeks. I don't know where the U Sports findings will stand. But I can tell you this. If this team thinks it's making the playoffs next year right now, it's a pipe dream. Never going to happen. Yeah. There's no way that this fractured locker room can make the playoffs with that kind of dark cloud, I'll say, hanging over top of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I mean, do you call it now? Do you say, you know what, maybe it's better if we don't? Like,
that's what I would do.
Realistically, that's what I would do as well. Until we get this cleared up, we're putting it on hold.
But there's other people that are making these calls and these decisions, so...
Apparently they're not making the right decision.
Doesn't seem like it.
Well, we'll leave it at that as we're running out of time. We got about 30 seconds before Skippy gets in here with Free Range Radio. Anything you want to say, Beans, before we get out of here?
Everybody stay safe on the roads. I mean, on the way here, there's a few accidents. You know, there's been a few accidents lately. So
you got slowed up a little bit there.
You guys listening to us on the radio and you're driving home, just be careful out there. And another thing, Stevenson for the Washington Capitals. Bringing the cup to Humboldt.
Oh, I saw that. Good on him. Yeah, nice to see him. Like you said, they need a good day up there, and he's going to take the cup up there and party with the people in Humboldt. So good on him.
I think he said that when they were up 3-1 in the series.
Yeah, he was going to do that anyway. But the fact that they actually won and he's going to do it, that's good for him. Yeah. So with that, folks, we are out of here for another week here on the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM. We'll be back next week, same time, same bat channel. Make sure you tune in for that as we bring you all the news from the latest in hockey here on the Hockey Show 101.5 UMFM. You're making me tipsy. You're my toxic dream. I'll get my monkey off my back and you monkey me. So addicted to you, I get no fuss without you. I suffocate if I keep a very loud girl. So addicted to you, I get no fuss without you. I suffocate if I keep a very loud girl. So addicted to you. So addicted to you. So addicted to you. Chances, drink, have my heart.